Shalom, shalom. Welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. My name is Rico Cortez, and again, I'm coming back to you with some more exciting news and more exciting studies on the Word of God. I mean, I tell you, I get up in the morning, and I'm so excited to have an opportunity to be a teacher of His Word. You got to remember, as a former baseball player, you know, I thought I enjoyed playing baseball, but honestly, I've never really enjoyed anything as much as teaching the Word, because I know that it makes more of a difference in your life. It helps you understand some principles, hopefully. I'll be able to do a good job to help you understand principles in the Torah so the Word of God can come alive in your life. Now, in this series of teachings that I'm going to do, the last series of teachings were called A Spiritual Walk in the Life of Abraham and the Walk of Abraham. In our spiritual walk. Abraham and our spiritual walk, I'm sorry. Now, we're going to do it, our spiritual life and the life of Isaac. We're going to take the life of Isaac, specifically the chapter 24, talking about the bride and Isaac. In this story, Abraham is going to be a type and shadow of the Father. Eliezer is going to be a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. Isaac is going to be a type and shadow of the Son. And Rebecca is going to be the type and shadow of the bride, the congregation. Okay? Now remember, many people believe that the covenant really began in Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, before the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, we see that in verse 19, verse 5 and 6 says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special possession unto me above all the people I can't even speak English today. I'm sorry. Let me read it again. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And what did the children of Israel say? Verse 7 and 8. "So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which Yahweh commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do.'" So they came into a marriage covenant at that moment in Mount Sinai as a nation. But I submit to you that this pattern already happened in the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And this is what we're going to be studying for the next few sections that we're going to be doing together. So let's go right to the screen so we can begin reading the verses so we can really start, breaking these things down. Let's go right. Give me 1 second. There it is. "Now, and Abraham was very old and stricken in age, and Yahweh blessed Abraham in all things." Verse 2. "And Abraham said unto the eldest servants of his house that ruled over all that he had, and put, I pray you, thy hand put under my thigh, okay, and I will make you swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among them, among whom I dwell." Okay, so here starts a pattern. Abraham wanted the wives to come from Padan Aram. And then Isaac, the same thing. Jacob, the same thing. Later on, we're going to be talking about Esau and Jacob and some of the Torah portions we're going to be doing. But right now, we're going to stay with this one because I don't want to get off subject. But let's go back to it again and we'll see what I mean. So it was not good for them to marry the women of the land because of bestiality, because of they were very promiscuous and doing all kinds of stuff with animals and everything. So that's a no-no. "But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said unto him, "Preadventure, the women will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land which thou have come?" Remember, he says, "Am I going to bring Isaac to this land?" "And Abraham said unto him, 'Beware that you do not bring my son, bring not my son there again.'" Again, Isaac didn't go to Egypt. Isaac doesn't go to Ur. Why? Because Isaac was offered in chapter 22 of Genesis as a free will offering. So therefore, he cannot leave the land of Israel because he's an Allah offering. He's dedicated to the Lord. He will be defiled if he goes to a land that is not sanctified. Okay, by Abraham offering, sacrificing on the altar and dedicating the land on the altar, sanctifies the land to Yahweh. That's why Isaac only lived in the land of Israel. Okay, continue. So as we keep going here, and Yahweh of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, Humphrey, which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land, shall send his angel before you, and thou shalt take the wife unto my son from hence. Now, verse 8. And if a woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from my oath, only will not bring my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear by him concerning the matter. Now, and the servant took 10 camels, this is very significant. Animals have, you know, the numbers is very significant. According to some rabbinical commentaries that I have, 10 is a number of completion. So we're going to see here the pattern of the bride and the Messiah in the bride and the wedding of the bride. And we're going to find our spiritual walk in the story of Isaac and how when Messiah comes to the marriage covenant, when Messiah comes and he takes us to Sukkot, then it's going to be completion of all things. Okay, let's continue with the text, please. And it says, took 10 camels of his master and departed from all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And it says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even at the time when the woman go out to draw water. It's interesting. He did it near the time of the evening, somewhere around between three and six. Now, what's very peculiar here is that Abraham met his wife, Isaac met his wife, he didn't meet her, but Eliezer met the wife of Isaac at a well. Jacob met his wife at a well. Moses met his wife at a well. And Yeshua met the Samaritan woman at the well. It's very significant. We can go off for another hour on this particular verse by itself prophetically about what the well means and why the woman is there and why he found her there. It's very significant because in Isaiah chapter 12, it speaks about a prophecy about the wells of salvation. And it says, and in that day you will say, O Adonai, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. You comfort me. Before Elohim is my salvation. And I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Adonai, is my strength and my song. And he also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And in the day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds amongst the peoples, make mention to his name and exalt it. Sing to Adonai, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So here we see that the pattern that's been established here in Genesis 22 of finding a bride for Isaac. Remember, Isaac typifies the son, Yeshua. The bride typifies Israel. Then you're going to see the same pattern everywhere. Jacob finds Rachel at the well. Moses finds Zipporah at the well. And Yeshua finds the Samaritan woman at the well of Joseph. Very significant there too. Let's go back to the screen, please. Now, when we keep talking about here 12, by the way, this is a messianic sign. If they found the bride by the well, if they found the bride by the well in the time of Isaac, come back to me for a minute. If they found the bride by the well at the time of Isaac, that means if Isaac is the type and shadow of the Messiah, that means that Messiah has to find his bride by a well. And this is why he went to the Samaritan woman. Actually, let's make a stop here for a minute on this verse. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let's go to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we talk about the Samaritan woman. Let's investigate who she was. Okay? It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yeshua himself did not baptize for his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Why did he have to go to Galilee? Very significant. It's a messianic sign, by the way. It's a messianic sign. The rabbis tell you that Messiah, who is to come, he has to begin his ministry by the Sea of Galilee. Because the dispersion of Israel first began there, so the reconciliation and the restoration must start there too. So if somebody comes around and says, I am the Messiah, and he doesn't begin, his ministry didn't begin in the Galilee, he's not the Messiah. Because even the rabbis agree with this. All right. And he needed to go to Samaria, and he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Actually, Go to the screen for a minute and let me find this chapter here so you can read it with me, okay? We're going to go here to John. And we're going to go to chapter 4 of John. And then we're going to go down to verse 5. When we go to verse 5, you see, is the word Sychar. Now notice, in the last session we talked about Shechem, remember? Now we're going to look at that word Sychar right here. And that word Sychar in Hebrew means Sychar, okay? But if you look down here, Shechar, there. And the word Shechar means to be drunk, to be merry, but it's also a root word for the word Shechem. So here we see that they were in Shechem. He went to the place where Abraham went to, where Jacob went to, where all the children of Israel went to, and now Yeshua goes there. Now, in verse 5, he goes to a place named Sychar, near the parcel of the ground of Jacob given to his son Joseph. Now, in that encounter, it says, now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Interesting that when you go back to the story of the... it's about noon. It was about noon when that happened. When you go back to the story, it was about evening time. It's about time when they were tired. So let's go back to the story here real quick. Now, on verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being weary on the journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua said unto her, give me to drink. And then, now, for his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Now it says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, let me explain that a little bit before we keep going. Samaria was the place where the 10 tribes of Israel dwelled. Jeroboam, after the division of the kingdom of Solomon, he decided to worship all the gods. And he set up two places, Tel Dan and Bethel. And there, they built a temple, and they asked the people to be regular priests. And then from there, they built another altar and temple. They changed the feast and all those things. And because of that, the regular Jews refused to have any dealings with the Samaritans, which turned out to be, after a while, a mixture of the Israelites and the Assyrian colonists that were there. So she was an Israelite. She was not a Gentile. Okay? Now let's go back to the text. If you go back to the screen, that would be great. Thank you very much. All right, now, in verse 10, Yeshua answered and said unto her, if you knoweth the gift of Elohim, and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you wouldn't have asked of him, and he would have given you the water. And you notice he's quoting you Isaiah 12, verse 3, and Isaiah 44, verse 3, which says, and I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and bless it upon the offspring. Now remember that the story of Rebekah and the story of Isaac is the same encounter as the story of Yeshua and the story of the Samaritan woman. The 10 tribes of Israel, the Samaritans, they were cut off in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. They were given a bill of divorce because they worship other gods. It says this, then I saw for all the causes which backslidden Israel had committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a certificate of divorce, yet her treasured sister Judah did not fear will win and play the harlot also. So Judah and Israel, the two kingdoms divided, they both committed adultery, but you see, Yahweh made a covenant with David, that he will forever have a king, a tribe in Jerusalem to be a light unto the world. So therefore, even though Judah was as guilty as Israel, he did not give a bill of divorce to Judah, but he did to Israel. That's why the prophets come into play. Now, this is in the Torah. This is in the scriptures and the prophets. Okay? So now, what happens here is that they are dispersed. They're cut off from the covenant. So now, he's trying to entice her again. Why? Because in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, says this, then say, if a man divorces his wife, and he goes from him, and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Will not the land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says Yahweh. So Yahweh wants her back, wants Israel back. And that's what the encounter between the Samaritan woman and Yeshua is all about. Let's go back to the story now. Now in the story we see that he asked for living waters. Now the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From hence then hast thou be living waters. And you are you greater than our, listen to what he says, than our father Jacob? If she was a Gentile, she wouldn't have said, our father Jacob. You understand? If she was a Gentile, she would have never said, our father Jacob. Says, thou art greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle. Yeshua answered and said, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water shall I give to him shall never thirst. But the water shall I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up from the everlasting life. Now, let's continue. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, it says now, Yeshua said unto her, go call your husband and come hither. Now, that's very important. Okay, because according to the way things were in the first century, he is not supposed to talk to her if she's married. That will be provoking jealousy. That's very significant. Can I submit something to you? If Yeshua there represents the Messiah, obviously, and the Samaritan woman represents those 10 tribes that are scattered abroad, Israel, could it be possible that Yeshua is encountering himself with his original bride, the betrothal period? And she moved away from him and married other gods, which turned out to be husbands. That he has the encounter with the original, that she's having the encounter with her original groom. That's why he says, go call your husband. What does she say? Let's find out. She said, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said unto her, thou hast said correctly. I have no husband. And what? This is the verse. For you have had 5 husbands, and he who is now... that you have now is not your husband. And that you said truly. So the question is, who were the 6 husbands of the Samaritan woman? See, in the Bible, when you give a tribute, when you pay tribute to another king, or you come in covenant with another kingdom, or you serve the gods of the other kingdom, it's as if you're marrying them. Because you're provoking Yahweh to jealousy. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. So now, let me tell you who the 6 husbands were. The Egyptian kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, the Greek kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Assyrian kingdom, and the other husband that was hers, that at the time that she had, at that time that it wasn't hers, it was the Romans. So you have 5 former kingdoms that conquer Israel. And now you have the one that was conquering Israel in the first century, that they were giving tribute to Caesar and paying taxes to Caesar. And many people were worshiping the gods of the Greeks and the Romans. So now he is letting you know, listen, all the husbands you've had, Israel, they have been unfaithful to you and they have been treating you like a prostitute. They throw you out of the land. So he's encountering the original bride. And all of this is found in Genesis chapter 24 in the story of Isaac and the story of Rebekah. Where did they go to get the bride for Isaac? Padan Aram. Which kingdoms lived there later on in history? The Babylonian, the Persians, and the Parthians, and also the Assyrian kingdoms. This is very significant. Because you see, Jacob came from Padan Aram too. He went to look for this bride, Rachel, in Padan Aram. So we see a pattern of the dispersion going to get the bride. In other words, this is all about Messiah. Isaac is home. The father tells the Holy Spirit, Eliezer, type and shadow of the Ruach HaKodesh, to go get the bride for his son. And he goes to the place that in the future, prophetically, was the place where the 10 tribes of Israel will be scattered amongst the nations, the kingdom of Assyria. Are you getting the picture? This is very significant. Now, when we go back to the story of Rebekah in chapter 24, we're going to notice very interesting things. Let's go back to the scriptures so we can see for ourselves. Now, let me go back here. Take you back. What chapter am I? Okay, is that Genesis 24? All right. Let's go to verse... 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and his master, and swore concerning that matter. Now, in 10, and the servant took 10 camels. We already talked about this, right? And it says, and made the camels kneel down without the water at the well. Now, we explained why the well connected with Messiah. This is finally in Yeshua and the Torah, okay? Connecting it with the marriage covenant that we have with him. And he said, oh, Yahweh Elohim, oh, my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speech this day and show kindness unto thy master Abraham. And listen to what happens. This is where the pattern of between us and the Messiah come into play. Behold, I stand here at by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city came out to draw water. Verse 14. And it says, and let it come to pass that the damsel who came, to whom shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray you, and I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give the camels drink also. Let the same be that you shall appoint to your servant Isaac. And thereby I shall know that you shall show kindness unto my master. So this was a sign. The sign was, hey, can you, if the woman who's going to be the bride for Isaac, she's going to have to not only give me the drink, but 10 camels. Did you know how much water you have to draw to feed, to give 10 camels water? They drink a lot of water. That's a lot of work. Okay? It was the heart of a servant she was looking to. Let's go back to the screen, please. So now, in verse 15 says, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Now, Rebekah means, this is going to be interesting. You know, when you do for what I understand, okay, Rivka. Rivka, from an unused root, probably meaning to clog or tine of the fetlock, fettering the beauty. So, in other words, they told me, this is what I understand, okay, if I'm incorrect, this is what they told me, the information I got. That when you're doing a grafting, of the wild olive into an olive tree, that they basically do an incision on the trunk, and then they graft the olive branch into the original olive tree, and then they tie it around, and that is called Rebekah. Isn't that interesting? That's very cool. Because now we see the whole pattern of everybody being grafted into the tree, being tied together. And this is found in the story of Isaac and Rebekah. See, because they were not Jews. See, they were Israelites. They were Hebrews. They were not even Israelites. Because Israel didn't come later until after Jacob was changed his name. So here we have a pattern, a type and shadow of what's going to happen to every Gentile out there who's willing to cross over and become a Hebrew and live as a Hebrew. You will be Rivka. You're going to be tied together. You're going to be made beautiful. You're going to be made the bride. That's the whole story behind it. Let's go back to the screen. Now, and the Lord of heaven took the men from the father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give unto you this land, and send the angel before you. I already read this. I went backwards. Hold on a minute. What chapter was I? Verse 8. I went backwards. Verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray you, drink a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord, and she haste. And let it down her pitcher upon her hand, and she gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted, and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to with whether Yahweh had made him journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, half of a shekel's weight, and two bracelets in her hand, and 10 shekels of weight of gold. Very significant. Because you see, this is where Messiah comes into play. Let's say what Peter 3:3 says. Jesus adorning, let me read verse 1, says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting on the hair or wearing a gold or putting out apparel. Now, this is a complete different context that I don't want to go. I just want to see what the reference said. But anyway, says here that he took the earring and put it on her. Okay? And the nose ring of gold, divinity. That's what gold means. The divinity. So here, he has chosen her to be separated. Just like Messiah has given us gifts. just like how he has given us gift, you know, so we can work in the gifts. And he's given us precious life. He has given us gift, just like Eliezer gave the gifts to her, that Abraham, the father, remember, Abraham in the story is the type and shadow of the father, has set aside a gift for the bride of her son, of his son. The same thing Messiah did for us. He gives us the gifts. And remember in the Bible, the more camels, some places like India, the more cows you give to a bride, that means the beautiful, the more beautiful she is. So imagine, all of this thing that she was going, that she was getting, that meant that she was to be really, really beautiful. Now imagine us, that we are wounded people in the wilderness, and we're walking in the wilderness of the desolation, and the Messiah gives us beautiful gifts, and he gives his life for you, and then he gives you gifts as the bride that we are. It's a beautiful thing to do. So now, stay with me, because when we come back, we are going to continue the series about Isaac, the Messiah, and our spiritual walk. This is very significant. I hope and pray that you keep enjoying the teachings, because I'm going verse by verse so we can get a clear understanding of what the Messiah, you find him in the Torah. Amen? Well, Yahweh bless you and keep you. I'll tell you one thing. This is exciting times we're living in. Remember, you don't have to agree with anything I say, but I want you to verify everything that I say, okay? We'll see you soon. Come back and we continue on Isaac. Shalom.